So here we have the empty tomb. Who knows that in a tomb you would place a body? And in a year's time, you would come and rebury that body. Because by then it would become bones. And they'd put the bones in a box and they'd call that an ossuary. And then they'd put those bones under where that person was lying. And that's how the tomb would usually be used. It says, early on the first day of the week, that's Sunday, in case you didn't get it, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene, that's Mary from Magdala, the village of Magdala, went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. She came running to Simon Peter. She'd seen the body. Or rather, she hadn't seen the body. She thought she was going to see the body. She thought the body was lost. She was shocked. Shocked to the core. What have they done with Jesus? What have they done with Jesus? And she found herself running back to the disciples. I believe she was running because of the shock, but also because there was a revelation within her that Jesus had risen. She was in two minds. One was shock, logically, he's been taken, I must find him. And the other was revelation from the spirit and soul, which made her run. She just found herself running. She didn't decide it. She just found herself running. I can run now. Nearly. She came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple. The other disciple is John, the one Jesus loved. I think that's a bit of John writing there. When we see the scriptures, they're all spirit-breathed, but they contain something of the human that's writing it as well. And I believe at this point there's something of John saying, he loved me most. Probably doesn't come from God like that. It's okay, because God allows them to put something of themselves into the scripture. When God calls people to preach, have a guess what? He wants them to preach from their heart so that you get the message. But the message is from Jesus Christ Almighty. To Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, they have taken the Lord. They have taken the Lord out of the tomb. And we don't know where they have put him. So Peter and the other disciple, John, dashed to the tomb. How do we know that? Because the next few words, it says, they were running. So here we see John and Peter running to the tomb. And John outran Peter. Again, there's a bit of John there saying, look, I'm the fastest runner. I'm better than Peter. But they both ran as fast as they could. Why? Because there was revelation in them that Jesus Christ was alive. Yet in their mind they doubted it and had to go and find out, as you would. And John reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. He was all very well at getting there first, but when he got there, he wasn't very brave. He waited for Peter to come. Now Peter dashes in, he wants to see. But John goes, whoa, hold on, I'm not quite as brave as him. He bent over and looked into the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. Peter is brave. He doesn't hold back. We see that in the scriptures time and again. He doesn't hold back. I will never deny you, Jesus. Oh. But he's brave and he's passionate. So is John, passionate, but not quite so brave. He saw the strips of linen lying there as well as the cloth he had wrapped around Jesus. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciples, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. He was hesitant to go in, but once he went in and saw Jesus Christ wasn't there, he saw and believed. That, my friends, is revelation. He didn't work that out with his head, and we know that when we look at the rest of the scriptures. He saw and he believed. There was faith at that moment. Verse 9 says, they still did not understand from scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. If they'd looked at their Old Testament scriptures, they would know that Jesus Christ was going to rise from the dead. If they looked at John 2:19, it says, Jesus says, the temple will be destroyed in 3 days, and I will rise again. Now, they didn't have the scriptures at that time, to be fair to them. They have the Old Testament, but not the New Testament scriptures. But nevertheless, John believed. They still do not understand from the scriptures that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been. She's crying, she's weeping because Jesus has gone. So she runs out of revelation. She knows Jesus Christ is risen in her spirit, but in her mind she's still weeping for God because he's hidden and they can't find him. She's double-minded too. Where Jesus' body had been lain, one at the head and the other at the foot. Here we see Mary has two angels. Do you know that you have an angel looking after you too? You don't get two, only Mary got two. But we all get one. It tells us that in Psalm 91. Angels guard you all your days. Did you know that? Angels guard you all your days. They asked a woman, why are you crying? They have taken my Lord away. There's a good reason to be crying. If my Lord was taken away, I would be crying too. She said, and I don't know where they have put him. At this she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not realize that it was Jesus. But Jesus was there. She went seeking Jesus. What does the scriptures tell us? Knock and the door will be opened. Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Mary went seeking and she found Jesus. She just didn't know it yet. But she'd found Jesus. She's speaking to Jesus. Jesus hasn't spoken yet. He asked her, woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for? He was evoking his own name. He wanted her to say, Jesus, I'm looking for Jesus. Everybody should be saying, I'm looking for Jesus. That's what Jesus wants. I'm looking for Jesus, and I found Jesus. And then he speaks. She thought he was the gardener. Sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him. She was totally convinced that she would go and get him. If he was missing, if he wasn't here, she would go and get him. That's faith. Faith in action. She's seeking Jesus, and she's jolly well going to find Jesus. She said, sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni! Rabboni, teacher! She recognized this is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! Imagine what goes on in her heart and in her spirit at this moment as she realizes she is speaking to Jesus Christ. He has risen! She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said, do not hold on to me. So I imagine she's speaking to Jesus. She didn't realize it was Jesus, and then suddenly she does, and she's automatically gone and hugged him. And he says, do not hug me, because I haven't risen to the Father yet. What does that tell us about the resurrected body of Jesus? It tells us there's something of fragility about his resurrected body. Why? Because he's not in heaven. The body he's walking around in at that moment is for heaven. And so he didn't want Mary to hug him too tight. Now maybe she actually hugged him. Or maybe she just got close and he said, don't hug me. But either way, it tells us something about that resurrected body of Jesus Christ. He was recreation, as we will be recreation when we're resurrected too. His resurrection tells us that we will have resurrection too. Hallelujah. For I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brother and tell them. This is how God works. He draws people in and he sends them out. If you look at all the disciples were drawn to Jesus and later on they were sent out into the world. If you look at the 72, they were drawn into Jesus and then they were sent out to the world. This is God breathing. He breathes in, and when he breathes in, he draws people to him. And when he breathes out, he pushes people out to the world. All of those that came to Jesus in that time were drawn to him. And then we see the dispersion, the persecution, and they go out to the whole world to tell people about Jesus Christ so they can be drawn in and then they can be sent out. It's God's way of breathing. He breathes in and sends out. And more and more and more people come to know Jesus. During that dispersion, they were sent out. And they tried to persecute them. And when they persecuted them, all that happened was people dispersed out further. So that in that persecution, the word got spread further around the world. And the soldiers couldn't stop it. And the kings couldn't stop it. And the emperors couldn't stop it. The word was out and it was going out around the whole world as Jesus brought people to him and sent people out. And more people knew about Jesus Christ and him rising from the dead. And then we see Jesus appears to his disciples in the upper room. The doors are locked. They're in the upper room. They think everything is terrible. Jesus has died. There's no way forward. And Jesus appears to them in the upper room. Imagine their shock. The only one that wasn't there was Thomas. So Jesus appeared again in the upper room to Thomas. Because Thomas said, I won't believe unless I see. Unless I can touch and put my finger in his hand and my finger in his side. So Jesus appeared to him. And he said, my Lord and my God. You see, it's okay to doubt. But Jesus will still show you. And he had this wonderful, amazing, superb time with Jesus. This epiphany with Jesus. So he couldn't deny that Jesus existed because he put his finger in his hand and in his side. And then Jesus says something incredible. Blessed are those who believe without seeing. So you might be jealous of those people who've had an epiphany. You might think, why not me? You might think, well, that means I'm not good enough. No, not at all. It means you came to Christ in a different way. Blessed are those who believe without seeing, without having that epiphany, you still believed. Jesus Christ gave you what you needed. And you are just as good as the one that gets the epiphany. A road to Damascus experience is fantastic. And a slow conversion to understand who Jesus Christ is fantastic as well, because blessed are those who believe without seeing. We have a wonderful, incredible God who has risen from the dead. During the week, rather on Friday, I sat down to write the preach. As I sat down to write, I read through the scriptures, as I always do. And I read through the scriptures and read through the scriptures. And I prayed to God. And suddenly, I was crying. I was laughing. I was crying. I was laughing. And I knew that the Holy Spirit was upon me. And my question is to you, how do you sense the Holy Spirit upon you? Often when I preach, you might find that I'm in tears because the Holy Spirit is upon me. It's not emotion as such. It's the Holy Spirit working in and through me. We saw Ash come to the front earlier. She heard from God too. Different people sense the presence of God in a different way. Some run to Jesus Christ and they look in the tomb and suddenly they believe. Others have to have a word from God and speak to God before they believe. And some believe and they are blessed because they believe without seeing God. We are all first-class citizens. We are all masterpieces because God made us masterpieces. We are all made in the image of God.